afternoon, everyone out there listening. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. I hope you're doing well on this Saturday. Everything is okay for me. It can be summed up in three ways, and I try to remember this, and it seems like it's true for me. I'm looking at how the Creator, the Mother and Father God, have blessed me, how things seem to be falling in place in incredible ways. Like I was going to say, know that you are loved by the Mother and Father God and the Creator of the universe, who's a separate entity. You are loved unconditionally. And everything is all right. Everything is going just the way it should be. And everything will be all right. Keep those three things close to your heart, and you will be happy, I think. I'm trying to remember them. I was told that by someone. I'm sharing that with you just to explain again, like I've done before, the Creator of the universe was the spirit that existed before the Big Bang, when there was no physical universe. The Creator of the universe is a magical, electrical kind of being that looks like an aurora borealis, but of different colors, colors of the rainbow, and a huge energy field with a being inside, kind of has a mind and has a face. It smiles and laughs. There's a great sense of humor. And the creative universe is omnipotent and omniscient. The creative universe created the physical universe. And I can sum it up in one song. I'm going to sing you this little song as to why the Creator created the creation after the Big Bang, one solar system at a time, and after so many solar systems, and a new galaxy began to form. That was a galaxy. A new galaxy began to form, one solar system at a time. And here we are, many, many, many years down the road, many galaxies that have been created before us, right? Here we are in the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. Besides growth, the Creator of the universe also wanted to be loved. And so the Creator commanded the four forces of the universe. The first force was the force that created the suns, the planets, and the moons. The second force created all the plant and animal life. The third force, all the sentient life, all the different beings out there, humanoid, different kinds, different color skin, different height, sizes, different shaped and colored eyes, different levels of evolution. And the fourth force of the universe was the force that put a very small piece, an infinitesimal piece of the Creator in us, in our souls. Our souls are the brain of our spirit, and they shine with a light, and that spark of light came from the Creator, and that's the fourth force of the universe. But back to what I was saying about the Creator. Why did the Creator create the physical universe? Because nothing existed before the Big Bang. There was just the Creator, the spirit of the Creator, and darkness and silence. And then the physical universe began forming itself. But besides the four forces, the Creator's plan was to grow and experience growth through us. But more than that, here's a song, like I was saying, that explains it. It goes like this. Oh, man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. Oh, man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. Oh, man, look at my life. 24 and there's so much more. I live alone in a paradise that makes me think about two. Love lost such a cost. Give me things that won't get lost, like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you. Oh, man, take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you. I need someone to love me the whole day through. Ah, one look in my eyes and you can tell that's true. Next verse. Lullabies look in your eyes, run around the same old town. Doesn't mean that much to me, to mean that much to you. I've been first and last. Look at how the time goes past, and I'm all alone at last, rolling home to you. Oh man, take a look at my life, I'm a lot like you. I need someone to love me the whole day through. Oh, one look in my eyes and you can tell that's true. So my friends, the creator of the universe wants love, us to love him, her, because the creator is both male and female. We are providing that love that the creator desires, along with the growth, the praise that we give the creator, the praise that we give each other. You know, in church, we go to church and we praise God. Thank you, God. You're great. You're awesome. You're wonderful. We love you. That's praise. It's a form of love, if you will. And speaking of love, like I said in that song, the Creator wanted someone, something, somewhere to provide that love back to him, her. And that way, grow. It's a great plan, don't you think? To grow, you give someone love, like a baby, for example. A baby is born, the mother provides that love for the baby. The mother loves the baby with all her heart, mind, and soul because she realizes that it came from inside of her, is a part of her, was a part of her. She sees the life, the beauty of it, the miracle of creation, and she nurtures it, she feeds it, she changes its diapers. And throughout the years, she provides that love and support. That's the kind of love that the Creator needs to grow also. The Creator needs us, and we need the Creator. We're part of the Creator. We, like I said, we have that little piece of light in our souls. The little piece of light that belonged to the Creator, like a drop of water from the ocean of the Creator's spirit. We are that little drop of water. And ultimately, one day, we will go back to the Creator. But first, and as I was mentioning in that song, old man, take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you. And that's true in regard to especially our mother and father God, who are co-creator gods of this solar system that we're a part of. Hello. The sun is the matrix of the solar system. It's a world of light, a world on fire, a very special fire, not some ordinary fire that we think of like in a fireplace or if you light a match. It's a nuclear fire, and it's beautiful, where millions of tons of helium are being converted into hydrogen every second. And the spirit that you have inside your body, that I have inside my body, is made of light energy. Billions of electrons. And guess what? Spirits can live in fire because they're made of the same ingredients as fire, light energy. What's the source of light energy for our solar system? Well, you're right. It's the sun. I'm going to take a drink. So yes, the sun is heaven for us, but then one question that I detect that you might have is, what about all those other suns out there, those other stars? Well, the beings that live out there in those solar systems are indigenous, so to speak, to their own native planets and their atmospheric conditions. And thereby, their bodies were created to be indigenous to that planet's atmosphere. But more so than that, to the sun, their own sun. So we have all kinds of different civilizations out there that are indigenous to their suns and their planets. It's like we here in our solar system are indigenous to this world's atmosphere. We live alongside of animals, plant and animal life, animals that need each other. We're part of the food chain, if you will. And that weighs down on us, our psyche, if you will, as well as the atmosphere, the barometer rising and falling, all the different things that are dangerous within Mother Nature, volcanoes exploding, hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, all the animal life that is dangerous to us as well, that could eat us or bite us and poison us, even insects too, have poisonous bites. Not to mention all the man-made dangers, you know, driving on the freeways, how many people die each year, every year. And it's kind of ironic that every year it seems to be the same amount of people in the United States that die from car accidents, you know, with a little variation. In other words, 50,000 so deaths each year on the highways. And next year you can expect about the same. And the year before and 5 years ago, it was still about 50,000 a year. Isn't that amazing? It doesn't really seem to deviate or fluctuate too much. But, my friends, as I was saying, planet Earth is not an easy place to live. It's very difficult. It's a very hard school of learning in the University of the Universe. More than that, it is a planet going through its own evolution. Mother Earth, or Mother Gaia, is a cosmic being in its own right. It is alive. Didn't you know that? It has a molten iron core. It is alive. It has an aura. It has plant and animal life on it. It is a cosmic being. And it, too, is going through its evolution. Planet Earth is a beautiful world. It's a jewel of the universe. It's a wonderful world. Oh, I feel a song coming on. Let me sing What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. And that's a true song, my friends. It really is wonderful. And the extraterrestrials out there that might even be listening to my radio show, maybe in orbit around Earth or around about the moon or somewhere else in the solar system or even beyond the solar system with their incredible technology, and just like Star Trek, you know, how they're able to, from up above, look on their monitor, their display screens, and see what's going on in different places around the Earth. Star Trek was very realistic from what I've heard, from what people have said who know about extraterrestrials, that have contact with them, maybe been abducted, have had conversations with them. Some of that technology they used in Star Trek is very realistic, or was back then. They were way ahead of the time. That came out in the 60s, right? So beaming technology. beaming people from the spaceship down to the planet that we're revolving around, you know, in orbit, or putting on a tractor beam and pulling something towards them, you know. Matter transformation, the food that they had, they put it in kind of like a microwave, and they were able to put whatever they had, some blue, red, green, kind of like pills, and transform them into a wonderful meal, a sizzling steak with mushrooms and onions and vegetables and banana cream pie, all made from vegetable matter, but tastes just like the real thing, smells just like the real thing, but more nutritious for your body. How about that? Wouldn't that be cool? What do you think? I'm going to take a drink. And that food would provide all the nutrients, essential minerals, and elements that your body needs in order to function optimally. So that's the benefit of having some civilizations that are hundreds of millions of years in excess of our own. You know, they were traveling around the universe before our galaxy was even created. Isn't that a mind-blowing concept? But it's understandable because the borders of infinite space are expanding as we talk. Infinite. That's a concept that's hard to comprehend. Same thing with eternity, too. That our souls are eternal. Did you know that? Our souls that we have inside of our bodies and our spirit, the brain of our spirit, are eternal. And as I mentioned, and I've said this before, but just for those who are tuning in for the first time, your benefit, the soul shines with a light. It has a certain intensity of brightness, just like compared to a light bulb, maybe a 60-watt light bulb. So you're born. Do you remember when you were born? Do you remember when you're 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old? I'm just kidding with you. When we're born into this world, our souls shine with a certain intensity of light based on the nature of our soul's evolution, what we have experienced in our soul's journey so far before being born into the world. You might have lived many past lives. It's not uncommon for some people on Earth to have lived 80-some lives. Some extraterrestrials in other solar systems around the galaxy or in other galaxies may have lived 200-plus lives, past lives. But when we're born into this planet, it being a planet of a lower evolutionary category, we have to go through what is known as the River of Oblivion. It's kind of like a veil, like a saran wrap veil that we pop through. And when we do that, the memories of our past lives are erased. In other words, we're here. We were made to forget where we came from, our pre-existence, our past lives. And the purpose of that, because this planet is of a very special density, and a spirit can achieve a lot of learning here on planet Earth for the soul and the spirit, because it is that way. It has these difficulties, if you will, the dangers of dying, being killed or injured, and that pain, that suffering, that sorrow that we go through is beneficial to our soul's development, believe it or not. And we grow from that. So if we were born, say, for example, with a 60-watt light bulb, and let's say, God willing, and with God's blessing, we're able to live to be 100 years old. Every day is a gift, you know that. So don't be one of those people that can hardly wait to die, go back to where you came from, because you'd be defeating the purpose of coming here in the first place, because you were meant to grow while you were here. Every day is an opportunity for growth. So let's say you live to be 100, and then God, your mother and father God in heaven, call you home. You had an expiration date, already predetermined, predestined. You reached that expiration date, and your spirit popped out of your body, to the top of your head, to the chest, maybe pulled out by an angel or a deceased relative, and you're on your way to that land of light, of eternal light. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully, then you will have learned to be kind, generous, loving, family-oriented, a good person, in other words, doing random acts of kindness, looking after the homeless and the poor, the destitute, being kind to animals. I'm working on that. It's hard, especially when I've got a dog who jumps up on me, scratches me, and has bitten me, drawn blood. But I hold my temper. I don't think I've hurt him too much. I still love him. I might give him like a little slap, you know, if he scratches me or bites me. I had to bring him inside the house the other day. The neighbors have complained, right? We're getting him training. That's coming. We're going to have to pay a couple $1,000s probably to get training. But the neighbors have complaints with his barking. He goes out there, bark, 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 all day long. Finally, they said, could you please get a shock collar for your dog? And so we got three, four shock collars. Then we take it on. Excuse me. We take a drink. I know that might sound inhumane, but when the neighbor's complaining about the dog's barking and suggest that we buy a shock collar, then that's what you do. You know, yeah, you listen to your neighbors. In the meantime, he's a young, beautiful dog, and he just got this little wild, aggressive kind of streak in him. And also, there are six people living here in our house, my wife, myself, my stepdaughter, and three grandchildren. Everyone seems to treat him differently, so he might be confused about how he's supposed to be. But we're going to get him some training. I went through a class this morning with Toastmasters, and at the end, I spoke with this one man who said he had had his dog trained by this individual. He was in the Marine Corps. He worked with canines there, and we're going to contact him and get Lenny. Lenny is, he's a very sweet boy, you know, and he's always bothering our two older female dogs. He's a male dog. And they're maybe 13, 14 years old. And they don't want to be bothered by him. And sometimes he just, he's tugging on their legs and their ankles and hitting them with his paws. And so we're looking forward to him being more obedient and more kind to the older dogs. And so that's coming. But I think going back to what I was saying, being a good person, everything is taken into consideration. You know, we're going to be going to heaven. We're going to see the ultimate praise master there, King David. And you know about King David. He actually killed a man. I'm sure, you know, that's still weighing on his conscience there in heaven. But back in those days, sometimes it was kill or be killed. So it's understandable. And the mother and father God do understand that. And you repent. You repent of your sins. I try to repent each day. God, you know, I'm sorry for my sins. Mother God, Father God, if you want to pray to Jesus, you can. You know, Jesus is a co-creator God in the making too. You want to pray to the creator, you want to pray to the creator of the universe, I do that all the time because I have that relationship. I hear the creator talking back to me when I talk to him, her. I can hear the words. And the creator, one thing about the creator of the universe, he, she is an incredibly cool, a cool being. I think that's the best way to describe it. Very loving, knows all about you, knows the number of hairs you have on your head, knows how many grains of sand are on every beach on planet Earth, that kind of omniscient knowledge, if you will. Omnipotent, able to do anything, create anything. I mean, if you had, like, unlimited magical powers, what would you do? Well, I'd probably create, I'd use my imagination and my creativity to conjure up some kind of new life, maybe, or make myself a brand new car, poof, you know, wave a magic wand, that kind of thing. A brand new Challenger, Hellcat, green, lime green with black stripes. I love them. Or a Charger, maybe, which has four doors. The Challenger has two doors. But going back to what I was saying, the object of us being here is to increase the lamp of our soul through the good deeds that we do. And God knows our hearts. The Mother and Father God know our hearts. The creative universe knows our hearts, what kind of person we are, how we were brought up, you know. And repent daily. That's what I do. Reconcile yourself with your loving Creator, the Mother and Father God who created our soul and our spirit. And like what's saying in that song, they were like a, oh man, take a look at myself. I'm a lot like you, the Father God or the Mother God. They were like us at one time, going through their soul evolution on different planets throughout the universe, at different stages in their evolution, like we're going through right now, living on this planet, until through that process of reincarnation, one planet after another, they reached that level of perfection where they could become co-creator gods, and then coordination with the creator of the universe, utilize those cosmic forces out there to create their own solar system. Isn't that wild? And have, imagine creating your own sun, watching it flare up, watch that nuclear core ignite and exist for millions and billions of years. Isn't that like an almost near perfect creation with no glitches for the most part? I know sun, I'm going to take a drink. Some suns do go supernova or nova faster than others. Some turn into neutron stars. Some become black holes. But my point is, they are wonderfully amazing creations. And also creating your own planets. Think here, in this solar system, a planet like Jupiter. If you could look at it from right up above, like looking down on Earth from the International Space Station, you would see such a colorful planet with all these different colors. Like, remember marbles? When I was a boy, I used to play with marbles. And we had the transparent kind of marbles. We also had what we call beauties, which were like cream colored with all different colors and swirls and colors. And planets are like that. They're not just some purposeless creation. They have a very specific purpose. One thing is, from what I've heard, from my research, is that when we dream in our astral bodies, we can visit these other planets in our solar system and even go beyond our solar system to other solar systems and meet some of the beautiful life that's out there, other civilizations and other sentient beings that are going through their own processes of evolution. Hold on just a minute. Jackie, I think they're ready.
Okay. You ready?
That was my granddaughter. My wife is getting ready to go out and get some food. So she's been here in the room while I've been talking, and now she's getting her stuff and going to be going here. So Saturn is a beautiful planet. They're all beautiful in their own ways, you know. Oh, don't go there. Sorry, Gordy. There you go. I'm going to take a drink. I got to hold on just a minute. My wife's coming by. Lenny, the dog hit her on the face with his paw. That's why he needs some more training. Hit her on the nose. Yes, day before yesterday, hit her on the eye, one of her eyes, and then yesterday, hit her with his paw in her mouth, and today, hit her on the nose. And so, a little bit hurting, so to speak. But going back to what I was saying, the things that we do in our lives, they all add up to a higher intensity of light. Increasing our light is what we do as spirits and souls traveling around the universe in our soul's evolution in the journey of our soul's evolution. And so if you were born, for example, with a 60-watt light bulb, the object would be to increase it to a higher intensity. Just as an example, 100 watt, 150. Because when you transition, when we transition to the afterlife, we're going to notice that the other spirits that we'll meet there in the afterlife, call it what you want, the spirit realm, heaven, whatever, you're going to see that they shine with a certain kind of intensity. Some more brightly than others. I'm going to take a drink. And especially when we get to the throne room, when we're with our mother and father God and surrounded by all those redeemed spirits and the great people from the past, throughout the centuries, from different cultures, there are angels flying around, all kinds of praise going on and shouting and happiness and laughing, all those activities, running a planet, a whole solar system, right there. And in the spirit, you're going to be right in the mix of everything. But first, you've got to be able to withstand the glory and brilliance of the Mother and Father God's light, knowing that they are our spirit parents. They benefit from growth as well, and they continue to increase in growth. So just imagine, if you will, you know how big you are, right? I'm 5 feet 8 inches, but imagine being in front of a spirit that's maybe twice as large as a two-story house and having them look down upon you. Because they're growing, guaranteed. You get to heaven, everything continues there. The learning doesn't stop. Continue to grow and learn. But if you really want fast learning and fast evolution, then be born on a planet of a lower evolutionary category. Have to go through all the pain and suffering and the war and the killing and the fighting that's going on and the hatred, dealing with that, and learning to love through all of that. Plus Mother Nature dealing with that, still learning to love on a daily basis, forgiving your enemies, saying prayers for enemies, saying prayers, period. All that adds up to growth for your soul and your spirit. And once you have achieved that higher level of intensity, light, you will see that as you walk around in heaven, people will recognize that you have increased your light. Everyone wants to increase their light and shine with a bright light. And when you're in front of the Mother and Father God, unless you have developed yourself spiritually sufficiently enough or evolved your soul well enough, then you won't be able to withstand that glory and brilliance that will wash over you. Like, just to say, as an example, a hurricane force wind. If you ever been out in a hurricane, I haven't, but when you try to walk around in 70, 80, 90 mile an hour winds, you know what that feeling is like. Well, just imagine, use your imagination, light that comes over you, washes over you, the glory and brilliance of it, like a wind. That's the best way to compare it to, a wind. And unless you are developed enough spiritually, you won't be able to withstand it. You'll have to fall down on the ground or go away, back out, go back into the city or the surrounding areas of heaven. You know, it's such a huge place. Eat from the tree of life, eat the fruit, which will strengthen your spirit and soul. Smell the leaves of the nations, that strengthens your spirit and soul. Help people, have different, there's no real jobs in heaven, but people are engaged in activities all the time, helping each other. It's all about helping each other, you know, to grow, to learn. And there are millions and millions and millions of people in heaven, in the spirit realm. Some, yes, have moved on to other planets throughout the universe through that process of reincarnation to develop their souls. Some are waiting for that grand reunion when people transition to the afterlife, and we can have that gathering, that celebration. See, right? That was my wife. She just walked out the door. She got ready. And so there will be a celebration. There's celebrations going on all the time in heaven. So let me, since I'm on the subject, let me just paint a picture for you what it's going to be like. So we pop out of our bodies. Our spirits pop out. Might look down. It happens all the time. All the time. You see it on YouTube, all these videos. The most common thing is popping out of your body, being up at the top of the ceiling, and looking down on your body. And there is no really feeling of attachment to it. It's almost like it served its purpose. You know, it was like a coat that you wore that you took off. People just looked at it matter-of-factly, you know, like, well, that was me, you know, but this is the real me. You know, I'm the spirit and soul. That's the real me. That was just my vehicle that I used to move around on Earth, kind of like an avatar, you know, the blue bodies. They put their spirits inside the blue bodies. So then they might hang around for a while. They might move through the building. They might come up through the floors, up into the roof, keep going upwards. From my research, there's kind of a drawing, a magnetic pull, taking us back to our home, which is the sun. However, there are some things that could change that, depending on just what we did, things that we did. If we were believers, if we were good people, in other words, and we weren't physical abusers or sexual abusers, or verbal abusers, as long as we weren't murderers or rapists, then we start moving upwards. We fly away. Or we could be taken to heaven in a chariot from an angel-driven chariot. Or we could just wind up there. Or go through a tunnel. You've heard about the tunnel. That light at the end of the tunnel, well, guess what? That's the sun, 93 million miles away. Once you get rid of the five physical senses, you know, the eyeballs, you pluck your eyeball out, you see what I mean, or the ears or the nose, outside the five physical senses, then all you see really is light and darkness, combination of the two. You're no longer in the objective world. You're in the spiritual realm, and the light of the sun 93 million miles away creates a tunnel because it's so far away, and that light is a tunnel, and you can move down that. You're drawn by like a magnetic energy, and the spirit flies at very incredibly fast speeds. And when you get to the end there, all of a sudden you're in that atmosphere, that landscape. And you'll see the beauty all around you, which is like here on Earth, very similar. Mountains, valleys, rivers, oceans, seas, trees everywhere, beautiful fields of grass and wheat, highways paved in gold, chariots moving around on these highways, if you will, driven by angels carrying redeemed people, the spirits there, in other words. The trees of life with the different fruits. They grow wheat there. And it's all much more intense. The colors are more intense. And very beautiful. And everything there has life. Even the flowers. And flowers everywhere. Thousands of different varieties of flowers all looking at you as if they had a mind of their own as you walk by. Saying, look at me, I'm beautiful. I'm the creation of the Creator. I'm beautiful. And you can step on them, but they bounce back up, you know. The spirit is translucent, which means light goes through it. partially transparent. Also, you can see through. You can look at your arm, and it shines with a light, you know, and you can see through it. So it's both transparent and translucent. Think of the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze at the end there when he was saying goodbye. That's a perfect example of what your spirit will look like. And what did he say? Do you remember? He said, it's wonderful. The love that you make here on earth, the love that you develop, you take it with you. Isn't that, you feel that? That's so true. And there's activities going on all the time, people, and there's buildings, there's mansions. There's a mansion for you if you're a good person. I know that there's a mansion for me. All the people that know me, that are related to me, people I've known in my past, my mother and father, relatives, people I don't even know, who I've never met, to know me and know about me, probably even know about the Church of the Soul's Evolution. There might be a special building created for that radio show and for other people too. Great things that they've done are kind of copied and amplified there in heaven. Activities go on all the time. Talk about seminars and also great people in our past talking. I'm going to take a drink. There's going to be crowds, thousands and thousands of people that come to these gatherings to hear people talk. Martin Luther King, who did great things, you know. Isaac Newton, John F. Kennedy, all the presidents of the past, great people. Copernicus, Columbus. I mean, just think of all the people throughout the centuries that are noteworthy in our history books, who did great things, unless they have reincarnated on another planet throughout the universe. They're there. And some are waiting for a grand reunion. You know, there's no time per se there in heaven because they're there on the sun, and the sun is stationary while all the planets revolve around it. So that's what makes time here. The perception of time is nothing more than our planet rotating on its axis and revolving around the sun. Otherwise, once you get into outer space, there is no time, you know. That's why people have had near-death experiences. When they popped out of the body and they've gone into outer space, they say they feel like they're in eternity and there's no time there. So I mentioned this before. I'm going to take a drink. When we get there, there's all kinds of activities. I mean, you can play on the ocean side. Everything is the same, except more brighter and more intense, more colorful. And there is love there, only love. No darkness, no shadows. Happiness abounds. People talking to each other, sharing love. No worries about bodily fluids. No worries about getting enough sleep. The spirit is our real being. It's our nature, true nature. That's who we really are. And so when we pop out of these bodies, then we go there, hopefully, you know, depending on if you were a bad person or a good person, I guess I can sum it up that way. Most people are good. It's just a small minority that are bad. But that's the way it goes, and usually those people are that way because they were brought up that way. You know, maybe their parents didn't treat them well. They abused them in different ways when they were growing up. They didn't get that love like you and I got, you know, and they got some bad breaks. But then again, things happen, bad things happen for reasons, and it helps us to grow as well, right? We learn from that. Hold on, please. One of our dogs just left. Wants to go out downstairs, I think. Go outside. And so there is the holy city. The walls surrounding the city are made of pearl, just like the Bible says. There are angels everywhere when you get to heaven. You remember them? There will be a remembering. when we get there. One thing that's going to happen is that just about everybody that crosses over to the other side, you're going to be met by Abraham. Abraham was a big barrel-chested man with a beard, and he usually greets all the newcomers by the River of Life and hands them a goblet with the water from the River of Life and says, drink of this and do away with the memories of your earth life. You are here now in heaven. Welcome. Enjoy. Don't worry. You're here now. Everything's going to be all right. You have the River of Life. You can go into the water and wash away all those impurities and negative associations with the earth life, you know, the body, the physical body life. And you'll see all the disciples and all the patriarchs of the Bible and all kinds of different people from different cultures. There is no different religions in heaven. There's only one kind of work. There's one kind of, I can't even recall it, can't even call it religion. Oh, I'm going to take a drink. It's a worshiping of the creator of the universe, worshiping of the mother and father God for creating. They created our soul and our spirit by merging their spirits, and we popped out of their mouths. I'm not sure exactly where. Little spirits flying around, and that was where we existed, in that realm there, before we were born on planet Earth. We were developing as spirits there when we were first created. That's what happens. And then, because more than likely, I would say the majority of us, if I can give you a number in physical years as to how old we are, how long we've existed, thousands and thousands of years of Earth life here. Like I mentioned, there is no time on that side, but here, thousands and thousands of years we've existed before we were born here on this planet, which is not our home. That our home is over there in that world of light, because our spirits are made of light. You get that association? We can live in fire as a spirit. We can also go down underneath the surface of the earth and burn in those lava beds down there like some bad people do, otherwise known as God's jail or hell. Yes, that's a reality. It's a rehabilitation. There is no eternal damnation. Take it from the Reverend Blake. You can believe what you want to believe, but it's all about forgiveness. You know, if you're a loving, forgiving person, you're not going to condemn somebody, especially your own child, to an eternity of suffering just because they were disobedient or did something wrong. Would you do that? I think not. Well, think how loving, more loving, your mother and father God, who created your soul and your spirit, are. Think how more loving they are. So, eternal damnation, no. Rehabilitation, yes. Logical, right? That's irrefutable logic, my friends. Take it from me. The people that wanted to instill fear with that eternal damnation, or that was the mindset of people thousands of years ago for the purposes of dominating and controlling the masses for the sake of money and power. You know what I'm saying? But getting back to heaven, there's all kinds of celebrations going on. There'll be feasts, tables, huge tables, adorned with all the finest silver and gold and precious stones everywhere in the wall surrounding the city. Precious, beautiful precious stones everywhere. And marble, mansions made of marble floors inlaid with roses. And everything that you like here on earth is being prepared for you in heaven. As long as you love God and try to love God, the creator of the universe, and your mother and father God who created your spirit and your soul, their co-creator God. So you finally get that distinction I'm trying to make between the creator of the universe and our mother and father God who are co-creator gods. They've reached that level. That's what we're aspiring to do through the process of reincarnation. You finally understand what I mean? Sometimes I get the feeling that people don't understand that distinction between the creator and co-creator gods. And one day, if you want, I think it doesn't happen automatically. You could be a co-creator God too and create your own solar system and your own planets and your own spirit children and contribute to the growth of the universe and contribute to the love that we send the supreme creator, the creator of the universe. In heaven, there's celebrations all the time, musical, music continues. Music is everywhere. You will hear music all the time, and it's all harmonious. There's nothing in discord. Like I mentioned, there's no darkness. There's no shadow. There are no shadows. Flowers everywhere, trees, beautiful trees, fields, green. The green is so green that it'll boggle your mind how green it is. And it's all beautiful and flowing as if with a wind, all like with a mind of its own, like the flowers I said, like they'll look at you as you walk by. And you can look into them. It's how beautifully and wonderfully they're made. And I feel like when I get there, I'm going to have thousands of people that will listen to me, like my radio show has prepared me for, where I'll get up there and I'll talk in front of thousands of people and say, rejoice! The creator of the universe created everything. There didn't have to be anything. And yet here we are. We exist. We are alive, my friends. All thanks to the creator of the universe, who deserves to be worshipped and loved and thanked for eternity. The creator of the universe is so worthy. We wouldn't exist if it hadn't been for the creator of the universe. Nothing would exist. And so that's why everyone's going to worship. It's like a one big celebration, a worship, praise service going on. People happy because they are in their pure selves, pure spirits, walking around, enjoying each other's company. There are no negative feelings. Like I said, there's no bodily fluids. You don't have to worry about getting enough sleep. Rest is kind of mandatory. Yes, you do need to rest, but activities are going on. You might be called up to the throne room to discuss some serious business, you know, because there are some missions that people are sent on. Here, I'm going to take a drink. I'm just about running out of time, my friends. I just want to sing another song. It's a Black History Month, and we sing in church. We'll sing tomorrow. Lift every voice and sing. I'd like to sing that song. If I have time, if not, then I'll just try to do a verse or two. Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling seas. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won. Well, that's one verse. I think I'm just about running out of time. How am I doing, Doug? Got about a minute left. So I haven't heard Doug say anything yet, but it's about that time. So, creator of the universe, here's my prayer. Hear our prayer, please. Here on planet Earth, we're going through our evolution. It's a very difficult time, a very difficult situation, but it's meant to be that way, and we learn from it. But we need your help with everything. Things go better with you, creator of the universe, because you're omnipotent and you're omniscient and you're a great, wonderful, cool, electrical, omnipotent, omniscient being, and you're so worthy of praise and worship forever. You are wonderful. We love you. We want to give you a hug because you're so awesome. Please continue to bless us, everybody. Help us to survive as a race here. There's so many good people, and I've told you about that in previous prayers, creator. Bless us. You see how good we are, please. And this is a difficult planet that we're living on because of this, of its atmosphere, as I mentioned, you know, being in the food chain, and there's a lot of danger here. Help us, please, to survive. That would be good for our souls, our eternal souls, that we would leave this existence with love and peace and harmony on our minds. If you could help make that happen, if that could be your will, please let it be. Help us. Bless us. Protect us. Everybody, all your children here on earth. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Actually, you don't need to say in Jesus' name. You can if you want. But you don't need an intermediary. You are a child of the most highest creator of the universe, kind of like a grandchild, actually. And you communicate directly with the creator if you're brave enough and strong enough to do that, my friends. All right, I think about out of time. So I'll talk with you next week. I love you. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.